All right, Marty Lurie here, KNBR 680, with one of my favorites. I go back to his debut in 1999. That's Tim Hudson. How are you?
Hey, Marty. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Very good. I'm doing well. Nice to see you in spring training and down here with the Giants. And it's always nice for the fans to hear your voice and explain what you know how you got down here and what's going on.
Yeah, well, you know, it's always good to come back and hang out with the guys. You know, we had such a two wonderful years here in San Francisco. And, you know, they gave me the opportunity to come back and hang out with the guys. Put on the uniform again, feel like you're back with one of the guys again.
You know, it's funny, I was thinking about you the other day because spring training has a lot of different levels to it. It has the young kid trying to come in and show everyone what they can do. It has the veteran who's been hurt coming back, showing what he can do. And then it has the guy kind of saying, well, do I still have it? And you know something? You've been in all three.
Yeah, you know, it's, fortunately I was lucky enough to play the game, you know, long enough to hit all those phases.
Yeah.
And it's just it is a different deal in spring training. Obviously you have a lot of different levels, like you said, a lot of different layers to it. And like I said, luckily I was able to stay healthy enough and relatively effective enough to pitch for a long time and to try to figure it out along the way. And now I'm able to come in as an instructor and hopefully help out some of these young kids with some nuggets of knowledge here and there and hang out with some of the older guys and talk shop a little bit.
Well, you still look like you can pitch. You put on a couple of pounds. I think you got the fastball back, but I'll say that. What do people ask you? What do the kids ask you? What are some of the things you like to impart to them?
You know, the kids nowadays, I mean, they're so respectful and they're so soft-spoken that, you know, they hardly initiate conversation. So I enjoy watching them and seeing what they're doing, seeing what kind of stuff they have and how they're throwing their bullpens. And then just, you know, once I initiate conversation with them, you know, they're very quick to pick my brain and to just talk baseball and talk different kinds of grips with the pitches and, you know, and what you're thinking, what's your mindset on certain kinds of things whenever you're throwing your bullpen. So, that's been fun. You know, it's really exciting seeing some of these young arms that they have in camp. There's some that are really, really exciting and some that is going to help that big league club here really quickly.
Yeah, any that jump out to you? I mean, Tyler Beede is here. Ty Block is here. You know, some of these guys from the time you were here. Any really jump out at you?
Well, you know, I think Beede's the obvious guy that is on everybody's radar. I mean, has such a power arm. I was watching his bullpen the other day, and we were talking about some certain grips with his little cutter grip and, just what he's thinking about his sinker when he's throwing a sinker. So, you know, he has unbelievable stuff. It's I don't know that I ever had the stuff that he has. I mean, he has a power arm. He has top-of-the-rotation stuff. There's no question about that. But it's just, for him, it's just refining that location and doing the little things to get big league hitters out. He has swing and miss stuff across the board. There's a few other guys that look really good. Morris was a guy that I thought looked really well, looked really good. He is a power sinker and a Mariano Rivera kind of cutter, in my opinion. I think he's a guy that, you know, if he makes a club, he's going to really help out that bullpen.
Wow, very good. A good scouting report from Tim Hudson. Very good. I like that. You may have a new job here.
Yeah.
All right, as being a scout. Now, Matt Cain's in another position because he's a veteran in two aspects, coming back from injury and also sort of at the end of a contract. What does he have to go through?
Well, you know, Matt, he threw live batting practice yesterday, and he looked really good. I know he's had his, a little bit of a tough time over the last year and a half with obviously injuries and confidence more than anything. But, he looked really good yesterday. I think, for him, if he can feel like he's healthy and get that confidence from a health standpoint back, I think his production on the mound is going to just go up dramatically. And but he is a guy that's getting a little bit longer in the tooth, and he's starting to try to figure some things out. And at some point in your career, once or twice, you have to kind of reinvent yourself along the way to stay in the game for a long time. You can't always pitch like you did when you were 23. And I think he's a guy who's going through some of that. And obviously, the injuries is one big reason why you have to do that. But he's a smart guy. He's a very intelligent guy out there pitching. you know, you just hope that he can get his confidence back and go out there and help his team win.
Boy, very good. They had to rip the uniform off your back. I mean, it was tough. How did you know when that was the time?
Well, in 2014, when we were in September and the September call-ups were fighting at the bat rack to come hit off of me, that was when I knew my time was starting to come to an end. you know, like I say, you know, thank God that I had a chance to come here in San Francisco and finish my career. It was a great place, won a World Series. You know, but, you know, I was honestly a shell of myself the 2 years that I was here. But having said that, you know, the fans and organization, you know, they treated me so great. And, I mean, I couldn't imagine playing here when I was in my prime, just because, you know, everything, they treated me and my family so well here, and I wasn't very good. So, you know, I think back of guys like Buster and Madison and all those guys, you know, how awesome of an opportunity that they have to play here in their prime, and it's just, it's a great place.
Yeah, you and Madison hit it off very well. He was very close to you.
Yeah, he's a good buddy. He's a good pal. You know, I was able to help take him under my wing a little bit and talk with him, you know, that first year I was here, and we won a World Series. It always makes it that little more special, but, you know, it's been fun watching him blossom into the kind of, you know, kind of frontline starter and superstar kind of player that he is.
You could hit. He can really hit.
He can swing it. He's a big, strong boy. I mean, he, you know, he does have an idea up there, but he's just so strong that even if he misses balls, you know, he's going to have a chance to hit him out of the ballpark. You know, me, if I missed the ball, it was going to be, you know, 220 feet out there, can of corn. His is going 420.
Well, people forget you were the cleanup hitter at Auburn. When, I mean, you told me that, it just blew my mind.
Well, you know, I played back when the Louisville Slugger bats were -5, and it was lightning coming off the bat. So I was your poster child for, you know, Louisville Slugger, -5, 155-pound cleanup hitter in college. It's not quite like that now.
No, but it is actually a true story. Well, great to see you out here. And the other thing we'll always take, you did start Game 7 of the World Series. How about that?
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. You know, it was one of those things where, you know, throughout my career, I always wanted to get to the World Series, and there I had a chance to pitch in Game 7. Didn't quite pitch as long into the game as I wanted to, but, you know, we won the ball game, and we had a group of guys in that locker room that refused to lose.
How about waking up in the morning of that day, and you've been through so many things in baseball, over 220 wins and all that. You wake up that morning knowing you're pitching Game 7. What was that like?
A little bit of anxiety. You know, it was excitement. It was funny. I woke up that morning. My wife, she was a wreck. You know, she was a wreck from the night before, and it was funny. I woke up that morning and just kind of, to make light of the situation, I looked at her. I said, golly, I had the weirdest dream last night. She's like, what? I said, I dreamed I was pitching Game 7 of the World Series. She was like, oh, shut up, you jerk. You know, I was like, but it was, you know, it was just, yeah, I was always a guy that just tried to keep things light and make it fun and not try to get too serious and amped up about things, because, you know, it was the biggest stage, you know, in baseball, Game 7 of the World Series, and I'm just glad I had the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, Bobby Cox always told me he was most nervous when you pitched because he wanted to make sure that your game went right.
He did. He told me that.
Well, you know, I'm not sure if that's a compliment or what, but, you know, sometimes, you know, when I'd go out there and pitch, it wasn't always the easiest game to call, to catch for the defense, because, you know, I was a stuff guy, and I wasn't a guy that was not necessarily going to paint the corners with everything. So the catcher had his work cut out for him, the umpire had his work cut out for him, and the defense had their work cut out for him, because there was a lot going on.
Well, when he told me that story, it was out of respect for you and as a professional. So that's what he meant by it. Well, great to see you. It's a pleasure. God, this is my 20th year of doing shows, and I've known you a long time, seen the whole family grow, and your father-in-law Harold and Kim, and I've seen a lot of stuff with you, so it's nice to have you out here.
Yeah, it's good to be out here. I tell you, it's been a fun ride, and it's just another chapter starting.
Yeah, very good. Timmy, thanks so much.
You got it.
More coming up, KMBR 680, the sports leader.